talk with Carla Swift. She is the president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, and Carla's relatively new to the job. Carla, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How long have you been sitting in the big seat?
About 3 months.
Oh, so you're all ready to go.
I'm going, yes.
All right. Now, I've got my shield up here, but I'm going to say the naughty sentence, right to work in Michigan. What are your thoughts on right to work?
Well, Tony, you know, so-called right to work, it's not about rights and it's not about work, and it certainly isn't about creating jobs. Six of the 10 states with the highest unemployment rate today are right-to-work states. This is really about the corporate special interests making a power grab, and it's a law that would reduce across the board for union and non-union workers in the state. It would lower wages, it would diminish benefits, health care benefits, and it would lower pensions. That's what we look like compared to other states when you compare the right to work states and the non-right to work states.
From your perspective, what does right to work mean?
Well, it's a power grab by corporate special interests, folks who want to weaken any place where people speak with a collective voice, and obviously having a workplace and workplace democracy through a union and having collective bargaining relationship with your employers, something that many CEOs and powerful business people don't want workers to have. So if they can diminish it in any way, that's on their agenda.
We just had Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville on the program, and he said right to work doesn't mean they want to end unions, doesn't mean they want to do anything to dismantle unions. What it means is that the worker would have the right to choose whether funding was taken out of his check for union dues.
Well, let's be clear. There is no law in Michigan today that makes union dues mandatory or compulsory. So anyone that would have you believe that that there is such a law is just not being upfront and not being truthful with you. Workers have a choice today whether or not to belong to unions and whether or not to pay dues. Those laws have been in effect for public and private sector workers for quite some time. So workers already have the choice whether or not to belong and whether or not to pay dues. Workers have a number of other choices in a unionized workplace because it's a democratic and rational process, and it allows workers to elect those who represent them and send them to the bargaining table to bargain a contract. They bring that contract back. Workers vote in a democratic election whether or not to ratify that contract. They have subsequent elections to, you know, reconfirm or elect new people to represent them. And in fact, if workers don't want to continue to have the benefits of collective bargaining, they can have an election to make that decision as well. We don't see workers doing that, though, because there is overwhelming support for collective bargaining by the workers in Michigan.
So what you're telling me, if someone works in a union shop and they say, I don't want to be a part of the union, I don't want to pay dues, they will still have equal opportunity to get a job, to keep the job, and they won't face any repercussions.
That's correct.
Because from what I understand, what we've been talking about on this program since we started talking about right to work is that's what it's all about. It's about a choice for the employees.
Well, and that's what the corporate special interests and the business folks would have you believe, because that's their talking point, right? But no, the fact of the matter is that workers under both state law and federal law can choose not to be members and not pay dues, and they still get all the benefits of representation. They still are covered by the collective bargaining agreement, and that is a fact.
Okay, if right to work was an issue here in the state of Michigan, you mentioned that health benefits would be lost and other type benefits. How is that?
Well, that's the experience. When there are collective bargaining agreements where workers come together and negotiate contracts in their best interest have the effect of raising the tide for all boats across a community or across a geographic area, because other employers that don't have that aren't engaged in collective bargaining tend to raise their wages a little bit. So this is about depressing wages. This is about setting up the conditions where employers can depress wages. And so, in fact, in right-to-work states, the wages are lower across the board. There's different reports that give you different numbers, but the one of the most recent reports is that 6 of 8 of the states with the lowest wages are right-to-work states. And there are other impacts in right-to-work states as well. The research is that the rates of uninsured are significantly higher in right-to-work states. The rates of uninsured children are significantly higher in right-to-work states. And I think the latest number I saw was that wages are about 12% lower in right-to-work states. So diminishing workers' collective bargaining power has the effect of depressing wages, benefits, and things like that.